able to be here this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God that is in our hands, and please place more of it in our hearts. I also pray for Dwayne. You know what has taken place in his life. You has called his wife home, Lucy. And he's having a very difficult time to be expected. We lift him up in this prayer to give him peace today that none of us can give him. It is a peace that passes all human understanding. Strengthen him today, please. And may the company he has be encouraging to him also today. I thank you for this church that is going to be praying for him. Because we don't pray one day and stop. Because the hurt doesn't stop. And the emptiness doesn't stop. We will continue to pray as you continue to do your work and your will done in his life. Now help us to know how to respond to what he really needs each and every day. Maybe a phone call, maybe a visit, maybe just to say, Dwayne, we'd love to take you out to eat today. I know these people will respond, and they'll respond well. The others that have been mentioned, you know who they are. The pain they are in daily, the things they wrestle with that we don't know. And then there's those that just walk in and say, tough day today. Having a hard time. I need help. Well, this is the place to get the right kind of help. Because this is the house of God, and God can do anything that needs to be done. Father, we pray for the uplifting of all people here. We pray that you will bless every one of them. Those that are traveling, as we've already mentioned, and those that are dealing with the coronavirus here and there. Father, I pray that you'll give us the boldness that we need to continue going forward in all that's taking place. For we will not back up. We are committed to continue. And I think we need to remember, if we're really saved, we're already in heaven because we're in Jesus Christ. But we're left down here to walk that road, and sometimes a lot of unexpected things happen on that road that leads to heaven. Father, we love you. You're always with us. You're always providing. You're always there to enable us to see the unseen and how to deal with it. We love you, and we thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of information here, Jeff. Enough that you can understand, and what you can't, ask Tom. And he'll share with you. Okay. So we're going to give you some foundational information that is going to take us into a new series of studying that we're going to enter into next Sunday morning. So this is just the beginning. Okay. Now I have a title that I wrote down that you don't have. I'd like for you to either listen to it really good so you can carry it home with you, or write it down after I get through reading it. And here's the title that you don't have. It is How to Survive in the Combat Zone. How to Survive in the Combat Zone. And you might want to make it a little personal. How am I to survive in the combat zone? How am I to survive in the combat zone? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, it is a verse you're going to hear often. I hope you memorize it and become familiar with it enough that you can explain or define what God is saying in this particular verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it goes like this: Therefore, put on Underline the two words, put on. Number one, these words do not mean that God is going to put this on automatically for you. Put on are words of responsibility. It is your responsibility as a Christian to put on the full armor of God. He provides it, but He won't put it on for you. You're going to have to put it on yourself. So there is responsibility for the Christian that is in Christ. If he is going to be successful, if he is going to experience spiritual victory in his life. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God. Nothing is missing. Everything is fully supplied by God. So that you, the Christian, will be able. That word able refers to divine ablement. So therefore, when you're in a spiritual struggle or a struggle with Satan, it's going to take more than human power to deal with what is at hand. If you're going to have conflict and engage in battle with Satan and his well-planned demonic army, then you're going to have divine enablement. That is Ephesians, right? 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is going to be your divine enabler that is inside of you. He was given you the moment you received in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So He is there to provide a supernatural power to go up against your supernatural enemy, which is Satan and his demonic army. All right, let's go back. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you, the Christian, will be able by divine enablement to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious. All right, let's go back to the printout right here. So we're dealing with how to survive in the combat zone as a Christian in Christ. Also, notice the subtitle, The Front Lines of Battle. I think we have to ask ourselves, am I on the front line? Am I somewhere in the middle? Or am I on the back line of this battle that is taking place here in my life and in this world that I live in as a child of God? All right, let's begin with the introduction. The battle. Underline the word battle. The word battle here refers to combat between two armed forces. We just read about what you have available to you as a Christian that God has provided for you to put on. He's made it available so you can stand in the face of the enemy during a time of severe combat. It means combat between two armed forces. So the Christian is armed. It's there, but you've got to put it on. Also, Satan and his forces are supernaturally armed. So the armor that God provides is supernatural because you're fighting a supernatural force. So the battle you're in as a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, is about to get personal. So underline the word personal, and here's what it means. Aimed pointedly at the most intimate aspects of a person. I'll repeat that. Something that is aimed pointedly at the most intimate aspects of a person. Now, write that word aspects down. We're going to add to that and define it. So when you're talking about the aspects of a person, things that Satan is going to focus upon and really aim at, it would be defined as this. Aspects. Number one, he's going to aim pointedly at your value system in life. Your value system in life, what you value. Do you value the right things? If you don't value the right things, you're going to be an easy target for Satan. All right? There's a second thing when talking about the aspects of a person. He's going to aim pointedly at your beliefs. Do you really believe in Jesus Christ, or is there some doubt there? There are some other beliefs you may have. If they are not centered on the Word of God, if Jesus Christ has not truly been received as your personal Lord and Savior, He's really going to create havoc in what you say you believe. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I wish I could say that on TV there in Washington and on Hannity, on Fox News and Newsmax and to really the people of the world. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That is non-negotiable. That is case closed. Jesus Christ is God. He has no beginning. He has no end. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in full on the cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. So when we are called to salvation, the issue is not my sins. Jesus paid my sin debt in full. The issue is your unbelief being turned into belief in Jesus Christ. There's only one thing He didn't what? He didn't die for. That is unbelief. Unbelief in Jesus will send you to a hell forever. And you must understand that and believe that. Well, there's something else when you talk about aspects. What else is He going to aim pointedly at? Rules. Are you living by the rules that you made up? Or are you living by the rules that we find in the Word of God? Human nature, the old sin nature, is really good and very deceptive. The human nature will make you think that human good is good enough to get you to heaven. That human good is good enough to live by. So when you talk about rules, are we living by the rules that you made up or your mom and dad just gave to you? Or are you living by the rules that you find in the Word of the living God? All right? Something else He's going to aim very pointedly at is spirituality. Spirituality can be defined in many different ways, but there's only one spirituality that I'm interested in and that you should be interested in. It is the spirituality we find in the Word of God. Are you spiritually born again from above? That was a conversation He had with Nicodemus. You must be born from above. You must be born by the grace of God. You must be born by believing that Jesus Christ is God. You must be born believing that Jesus on the cross paid your sin debt in full. You must be born believing that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. You must be born again by believing that Jesus Christ has been appointed judge by the Heavenly Father. You must believe that Jesus Christ is coming back for His children. You must believe what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. He's always been God. And it's always going to be that way forever and forever and forever. So therefore, to believe that Jesus Christ was just another good teacher, a good prophet, someone who was a human being, is not enough to get you into heaven. Jesus is God, and only God could pay for your sins. Thank you. There's something else He'll aim very pointedly at. It is the family. He wants to destroy the family. Guess what a university has as a course now? How to overthrow the government. How to overthrow the government. This is a class that is now being offered in one of our universities. I saw that on TV just the other night. How to overthrow your government or our government. My friends, this is when the government should step up and say, this will not be taught in America. And therefore, they should understand that our government is a grace gift that was formed and put together by Almighty God, and the purpose it has come from God Himself.
and they are not placed together to come up with their own ideals and own agenda. America, wake up! You know what they say? We've got to be tolerant. We've got to allow everything that comes into America to have a voice. That is such a damning ideology and philosophy. The only thing that is allowed in America, and I'm going to say it, is what God has given us to live by. This is our purpose. This is our ongoing. This is our everything in the life that we are to live here on planet Earth. My friends, I'm telling you, the reason I am not going back to Revelation at this moment, I don't feel led to. I have tried to. I think we need to understand what we're going through. We're going to have to learn right now how to survive and how to live and witness in the combat zone that you are in, like it or not, know it or not. I've heard some unbelievers say this, "Well, Terry, I'm an unbeliever. I don't have to worry about Satan dealing with me." Well, he's already dealt with you, okay? Because if that's what you're saying, he's already dealt with you. Let me tell you something. If you're an unbeliever, Satan's going to deal with you. If you're a believer, he's going to deal with you. So you're going to get it one way or the other, okay? But I'll say this, if you're an unbeliever, you'll have to battle him by yourself. If you're a believer, you have the supernatural power of God right there to do the battle for you. All right, there's something else that he's going to aim very pointedly at. It is identity. Do you know who you are? And I'm not talking about Black Lives Matter or Antifa. What am I saying? Who does God say you are? That's what you need to know. It will enable you to function as a child of God. No doubt you'll come to Jesus Christ, realizing that the Heavenly Father has given you what you have. And that we are all created in the image of Almighty God. Red, yellow, black, and white. It's not just black lives. God loves all His creation. They're all precious to Him. He may love you, and you may be precious, and you are, but you don't get an automatic ticket into heaven. You still must receive Jesus Christ after receiving that information, and it should walk you to the throne of Almighty God. Well, there's another thing. It's called moral beliefs. He's going to aim very pointedly at moral beliefs in America and in our families. I hope this kind of gave you an idea. The battle you're in as a Christian is about to get personal. Living life on the front lines. Underline the two words, front lines. What is living life on the front lines? It is this, living by the Word of God. It is living by the Word of God, living by the supernatural power of Almighty God, living by the Holy Spirit, guiding you, informing you, giving you divine enablement, being everything He's supposed to be, putting you out there on the front line. I'm living the Word of God. I'm on the front line. Get ready because hell is going to break loose in your life. Living life on the front lines, living by the Word of God of battle can be exciting. How many people would call that exciting in the church today? Man, I'm living on the front lines. I'm living in the combat zone. Satan is harassing me. He's really bothering me. And I don't like the hardships that are coming my way as a result of Him. May I say this to you? God is in control of everything. God is a creator of all things. Satan is a created being. He is on the leash of Almighty God. If you don't understand that, read the book of Job, please. If you score a big victory, there you will be heralded as one of God's champions. Question number one, where does the greatest number of attacks occur in your Christian life? On the front. On the front line. Now, a lot of people would say, well, Terry, I haven't been bothered in a long time. Well, where are you? Are you on the front line? Are you hiding behind somebody else and shoving them forward? Using them as a shield? Or are you somewhere in the middle? Or are you way back here on the back line? Where are you? That's what I had to ask myself the question, writing this stuff down. Terry Davis, where are you? Are you on the front line? Where does the greatest number of attacks occur in your Christian life? On the front line. The cutting edge. Let me ask you, are you dull or do you have a sharp knife? Would he say you're on the cutting edge and I'm going to use you as a sharp knife to cut through things that are very difficult, that are very hard? Number two, does Satan hit hard and often? The answer is yes. A, does Satan try to drive you back? The answer is yes. Why? Because he doesn't want you taking new ground. Uh-oh, newsflash, church. How do we know we're doing what we should be doing as a local assembly? Here it is. Are we moving forward? Are we taking new ground for God's kingdom? Are we taking new ground for God's kingdom? Repeat it and say this in your own life. When's the last time I moved forward? When's the last time this church confronted and took on and was victorious in taking on new ground for the kingdom of Almighty God? You know what you're going to learn and I'm going to learn more of? Christianity is not just getting saved. That's the first step. Christianity is not just coming to church and plopping down and maybe throwing a Bible in your lap. It's not just a prayer here and a prayer there and a song here and a song there. When you are saved, you stepped into the program of Almighty God. And it's not an easy program. It's going to be a program of hardship. It's going to be a program of battle. It's going to be a program of dealing with the supernatural. That's why when you call for the sergeant of arms, spiritually speaking, to start shaking everybody up and say, as a church, we're fixing to start taking on new ground for the glory of the kingdom of Almighty God. Get ready, we're fixing to do battle you've probably never done before or never been involved in. Brother, I promise you, there will be a loss of attendance. You know why? They're going to say, I didn't bargain for this. I didn't get saved for this. I got saved to get baptized to say my name is on the church roll. I got saved to come to church every once in a while. But don't ask me to engage and be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ and get on the battlefield and put on the full armor of Almighty God. Do we get it? Thank you. Back to the printout. B, as this age approaches its end, will Satan's attacks intensify? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Point one, the enemy is always looking for ways to sabotage. Underline the word sabotage. The word sabotage means underhanded interference. Does Satan play by the rules? The answer is no. But you know what? We have to play by the rules, and playing by the rules as a Christian is playing by the Word of God. When you and I obey the Word of God, guess what? Then the power of God goes to work for you, child of God, Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, when you and I begin to live by the Word of God, and when you and I learn to have the confidence to speak the Word of God in a hardship, to speak the Word of God in a conflict that we find ourselves in, believe and trust God to work on your behalf. Back to the printout. Sabotage. The intent to injure. Does he want to injure you? Yes. Does he want to interfere in your life as a Christian? The answer is yes. Secondly, to defeat or hinder a cause. Does Satan want to defeat us here at Haynesville Baptist Church? The answer is yes. Does he want to hinder the work of God here? The answer is yes. Wow, look at coronavirus. Look how it's scattered, even the people of Almighty God. And they say, I'm so afraid of it. I'll remind you one more time. Is not the days of your life numbered? Are you not in the hands of Almighty God? The answer is yes. Are we still called by God today in the midst of this virus and conflict to be on the front lines, the cutting edge for the glory of Almighty God? The answer is yes. America, we have gotten soft when it comes to the Word of God. We have forgotten the challenges that we should be meeting. That's why history, Christian history, is so very important. They were burned at the stake. They never did go back. They kept going forward. Then in the arenas, the wild beast would be let loose and tear Christians' arms completely off of their bodies and their legs and their heads. These are Christians that knelt to the glory and knelt to the Word of the living God. God was most important in their life. Maybe God has allowed coronavirus. He has. He's in control of everything. Have you ever asked why? And what has it done to America? What has it done to the whole world? It's put us all on our knees, so to say. It's made us stop. Some say it's made us have family time. It's made us look at our prayer time. It's made us look at our church time. It's made us look at what is most important in our life as a child of the living God. And to say, we will not stop. We will continue living for Jesus Christ. We will continue witnessing for the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be a warrior or do you want to be a wuss? There are no rewards for wusses in heaven. Do we understand that? The rewards go to those who have laid their life down for Jesus Christ, who had picked up the cross, did not deny the cross, and when it wasn't popular, they did the right thing, which was what God would have them do. Let me tell you something. Every time I have a funeral, I realize how temporary life is and how short life is. And then there's eternity. There's eternity we talk about at a funeral. My friends, listen. What happened to Lucy Lowe the other night? What happened? When Lucy Lowe passed away, she was delivered to her new destination beyond the grave. The power of God lifted her soul and lifted her spirit from her physical body. And in the twinkling of an eye, she's standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. She's in that intermediate state. She can see, she can hear, she can speak. She's fully aware of all her surroundings. And brother, let me say this. I don't know if that thought will ever hit our brain, but if it does, for a split second to say, I'm so glad I followed Jesus Christ. For now, I'm here forever and ever, eternity, and it's all going to be awesome, and there's not going to be one dull moment throughout eternity. Every moment will be a moment of learning and worship and praise and thanksgiving and fellowship. I really can't contain it. I just tell you what I know. Back to the printout. Point two. Or let's go back to point one. The enemy is always looking for ways. Would you underline that phrase? Looking for ways. Did you know he has game film on all of us? He has game film on all of humanity. And there's nothing you and I are ever going to do that's going to surprise him. He's already seen it all. Amen. Looking for ways to sabotage the life of a true frontline believer. Notice, he likes to deal with frontline believers because he's already got the mid-range and the back range. He's already got you. Why jack with you too much? You're no threat. When you get home, would you ask yourself the question, how much of a threat am I to Satan? How much of a threat am I to Satan? Back to the printout. We as believers have to live lives that leave no doors open to the enemy. Point two, if an unprepared, underline unprepared means no previous preparation.
So how many come to church and say, to heck with being prepared? Just feed me a little bit, preacher. Throw me a little bird seed. I'll get what I can. In other words, I'm going to sit here, and then when it's time to go, I'm going to leave what I heard here. And when Satan comes at me to slap me cross-eyed, I will not be prepared. You understand? I want you to understand, Satan hates your guts. He's not going to cut you any slack. He hates your guts. He hates Jesus Christ. And he's going to do everything to knock this church out of existence. It ain't going to happen. If an unprepared believer is hit hard by one of Satan's attacks, it has the potential of removing him or her permanently from the fight. I have said this. There are many that have been hit by the coronavirus in one way or another, heavy, light, medium. Let me ask you this. Is it going to knock you out of the fight? Does that mean you're going to stay home? Going to be scared to get out? Who do you fear more, coronavirus or Jesus Christ? Question. Are you willing to do what is necessary to withstand the enemy's onslaughts? Underline the word onslaughts. Onslaughts. Violent, well-planned attacks. Violent, well-planned attacks. We're talking about Satan and his demonic army. Are you willing to do what is necessary to withstand the enemy's onslaughts? You'll have to answer that one yourself. A. If you do not stand your ground and tenaciously or persistently fight back, fight back. Fight back. You want to fight? You like to fight? You got somebody to fight back? Passiveness is not Christianity. He said, fight back. Put on the full armor of God and stand there as a bold warrior of God and function in what you have just put on, and you will be victorious because God is before you and God has won that battle. All you did was get on your knee in submissiveness and put on the full armor of God and believe. If you do not stand your ground and tenaciously, persistently fight back, you will crumble under the pressure and retreat. Abandoning, which means to withdraw one's support. Abandoning your brothers. Underline three words. Abandoning your brothers. Let me tell you something. How would you like to look at the face of everybody in here and say, I just abandoned you? I walked away from encouraging you and supporting you and praying for you. I just defected. Would you like it? And you're going through a living hell at the moment, you say, and I really need your encouragement, and I really need a hug from you, and I really need you to pray for me, and I just really need you as a Christian. I need to support all I can get from my brother and sister in Christ. I don't want to look at any of y'all and say, I'm walking away, I'm defecting, I've had enough. Thank you. You know what it is? There's a lot of Christians sitting in church that have not been taught this stuff. The preacher said, I'm scared to preach it. I might lose a lot of people. The body of Christ is a remnant. A remnant is a small body pulled out from a bigger body. Let me tell you something. God's sifting right now. He's finding out who is his and who is not his. And the best way he does it is through a time of hardship. You're going to run. You're going to battle it out. Back to the printout. Abandoning your brothers and sisters in Christ to fight the battle on their own. Often these defectors are fearful that they'll be associated with radicals who might fail or become objects of ridicule or scorn. As a result, they secede. What is secede? Withdraw, leave, defect, turn your back on. Secede the front lines of battle that God has called them to protect. This, of course, is exactly what Satan wants them to do. Top of page 2. Point 3, number 1, living in the combat zone requires two things. What? Courage. Courage. How many Christians have the courage today? You know what this courage is? Let me define courage for you. A state of mind enabling one to face danger or hardship. A state of mind enabling one to face danger or hardship. When you become a Christian, there is a battle in your mind, for your mind, that is going to take place. Not if, but it is. Then there's wisdom. Second answer. Wisdom is understanding of what is true and what is right. That understanding comes from the Word of God. Question number 1. Do you have a fierce determination to live in the combat zone? Yea or nay? You got it? Do you have a fierce determination? Well, preacher, that's your call. That's what we hired you for. But I will stand under my shepherd and my Lord and Master, Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 2, are you determined to understand the devil's strategies, his plan of action? You'll find that in the Bible. So you can overcome Satan's attacks and move forward to win fresh victories and take new territory for the kingdom of God. God is calling. Are you answering? Well, Lord, I'm too busy with what's going on today. You know, it's just really put me down. And I don't know what to do. He said, I didn't ask you that. I'm calling you in the midst of all of that. Are you answering? How many of you know how to deal with that? You study the Bible enough? You read the Bible enough? Does God ever say, well, I'm so sorry you're in the midst of this thing right here. Call you back later. No, he says, I'm calling you now. I wonder why he says, I'm calling you now while you're in the midst of something that you think I don't need to be disturbed. God says, no, you need to be disturbed now because you and I need to walk together here. Print out. Are you a special brand of believer who wants to enter the combat zone and live there according to his will, and God's ways? He needs resolute, that is determination, unwavering, firmness. He needs resolute, committed Christians who know by his word, who know by experience their place of victory in Christ. Are you already victorious in Jesus Christ? I am fighting from victory, not to victory. I already have the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? Now live like it. Battle like it. He needs resolute, committed Christians who know their place of victory in Christ will challenge the devil, storm the gates of hell, and remain faithful until the job is accomplished. Well, question. Are you ready to step? It's step, S-T-E-P. Just make that little correction. We'll go forward. Are you ready to step forward and do battle with the enemy? Although the risks are certain, they are far outweighed by the great rewards and the far-reaching consequences of choosing not to fight. Warriors, underline that word, warriors, brave, experienced, engaged, aggressive. Warriors who avoid the battle stand to lose out on rewards, both in this life and the next. But for those who refuse to leave their position on the front lines until the battle, a sustained fight between large organized forces, that's us, is over, these brave spiritual warriors will have the first pick of the enemy's plunder. Ooh. Read your Bible. Some of you are going to be a 25-watt light bulb in heaven. Some of you are going to have a 100-watt light bulb in heaven. You ever read that? Some of you will be awarded more
will have more heavenly responsibility? Some will enjoy. Now, I'm going to step out on a limb here. I never do that, yeah. Some are going to enjoy heaven a little better than others. But those that are not getting to enjoy it as much as the other one will never know it.
That's right.
Because there's no jealousy up there.
Amen.
But I can just see that. Here you come walking along down that street of transparent gold. And boy, those over there said, man, that old boy shines, doesn't he? Boy, he must have really been a warrior down there on earth. And that one coming up, he's got a little glow to him. That was probably one of those that was middle line or back of the line. So you think everything's going to be the same and everybody's going to be the same? No. Read your Bible. We'll get into it later. Shall we explain it to you? All right. Page 2. Warriors who avoid the battle stand to lose out on rewards, both in this life and the next. But for those who refuse to leave their position on the front lines until the battle is over, you know what? Sometimes a fellow Christian needs to say, can you relieve me? Man, I am worn out. I hurt. I need to go and recuperate, but I'll be back. I'll be back. And I'll be there if you need me. But I hurt. I'm tired. Been working hard for my brother and sister in Christ. Many Christians have become caught up in a convenience-obsessed mindset that shuns dedication committed and hard work. Instead, they have gravitated toward seeker-friendly atmospheres where increasingly diluted versions of the Bible are taught. Churches are popping up everywhere, often filled with believers who have a shallow surface knowledge of the Bible at best. They don't believe the Bible is God's infallible word or that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and to God. Point 4. Every day the battle intensifies for souls and sound doctrine. The stark reality of warfare and confrontation has been forced upon us, and we must fight back whether we like it or not. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being straightforward with us, for being truthful. Yes, we're saved. We know where we're going. We know where we're already in Christ in heaven. But there's a path we have to walk, a path we have to live. It's not easy. I think we realize that from what we're seeing on TV. And that is going to continue to intensify. Christianity is hated by many. So is Jesus, so is the cross, so is the flag of the United States of America. That flag reminds me of what God has done through so many men and women that have fought for the freedom of this country. And God gave it to us. Father, I pray if there's any cowards anywhere in the body of Christ today in this world, may they be awakened to what is before them. For the time is going to come, and it may be quicker than we think, that we as local assemblies in the SBC will have to rise up arm in arm and go to a brother's church and say to the government, not here. And say to groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, not here.
So ask yourself, where am I in this battle? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.